In the summer of 2002, a DVD started circulating through motorcycle shops across Europe. No cover art, no production company, just a handwritten label that said Ghost Rider. Inside was footage that shouldn't exist. A turbocharged Suzuki Hayabusa doing 180 miles per hour between commuter cars during rush hour in Stockholm. No music, no narration, just the sound of a screaming engine and reality bending at the edges. The rider wore all black, no plates on the bike, no identifying marks, and the skill level was impossible to process. Every gap threaded with surgical precision. Every lane change calculated three moves ahead. Cars doing 60 miles per hour suddenly had a black blur past them at triple that speed. One driver changing lanes without looking, one patch of gravel, 1 second of lost focus. Any of these meant death. It never happened. Motorcycle forums exploded overnight. Who was this? How was he still alive? How was he not in a cell? The questions multiplied because Ghost Rider didn't stop at one DVD. He released five more over the next decade. Each one pushed further than anyone thought possible. Each one sold hundreds of thousands of copies through underground distribution networks that reached millions of viewers worldwide. And here's what most people miss. This wasn't just some adrenaline junkie with a camera. This was a calculated operation that treated every run like a military exercise. The most famous run became known as the Uppsala sequence, Stockholm to Uppsala, 42.6 miles. In normal traffic, it took about an hour. Ghost Rider did it in 14 minutes and 55 seconds. That's an average speed of 170 miles per hour through active traffic on public highways with police in pursuit. Think about what that means. While regular drivers are doing highway speeds, Ghost Rider is threading between them at nearly 200 miles per hour. The margin for error is measured in inches. The reaction time available is measured in fractions of a second. Professional racers train for years on closed circuits and still crash. Ghost Rider was doing this on open roads with civilian traffic, with families in minivans, with trucks changing lanes, with every variable completely outside his control except one, his skill. In Ghost Rider Goes Crazy in Europe, he tackled the Paris Périphérique, the ring road around Paris, 32 kilometers of urban highway that had a legendary record from 1989. Ghost Rider shattered it, 9 minutes and 57 seconds for the entire circuit. But the speed wasn't what separated him from every other street racer who ever lived. It was how he handled police. One sequence from the Swedish DVDs became instant legend. Police cruiser in pursuit. Lights flashing, sirens screaming. Ghost Rider pulls alongside the cop car at over 100 miles per hour. Lifts his front wheel, rides past them in a wheelie, then accelerates into traffic and vanishes. The police couldn't touch him. Their cars were fast. Their training was professional. But something else was protecting Ghost Rider. Something they didn't understand until it was already too late. The bikes Ghost Rider rode weren't production models. The Suzuki Hayabusa launched in 1999 as the fastest motorcycle on Earth. Stock top speed of 194 miles per hour, straight from the factory. Ghost Rider's machines were turbocharged monsters pushing between 417 and 499 horsepower. A modern sport bike does about 200 horsepower. Ghost Rider's bikes had more power than most supercars, on two wheels. These weren't showroom bikes. These were custom-built weapons, strengthened engine internals for boost pressure, modified fuel systems, upgraded brakes for speeds most riders will never see. Just riding one of these machines required professional-level skill. Ghost Rider wasn't just professional. He was world-class. Multiple sources identified him as Patrick Furstenhoff, member of the Swedish wheelie team, former racer, and in 1999, he set a Guinness World Record that still stands today. Fastest motorcycle wheelie ever recorded. 191.3 miles per hour on one wheel? That's not luck. That's decades of experience condensed into a single moment.
So, it's feeling good. Damn good.
It's a wheelie, but it's not a proper one. It's a cheating wheelie, like, it's not good enough to call it a world record because you need to go for at least 300 yards.
That's someone who understands physics and risk at a level most people can't comprehend. professional racing experience being applied to public roads. And someone with that background doesn't just rely on raw speed. They study every advantage, every angle, every detail that separates survival from disaster, including the law itself. Swedish law in the 2000s had a specific requirement for traffic violations. You could not be charged based solely on video evidence. You had to be caught in the act, physically stopped by police, or identified on the spot. That single legal loophole explains everything. Ghost Rider could film his crimes, edit them professionally, sell them for profit on DVD, let police watch every frame, and without catching him during an actual run, they had nothing. Think about modern street racers. Antonio Ginestri as Squeeze Benz got arrested because investigators traced his car registration through social media. The videos were evidence. His identity was confirmed through digital forensics. Modern laws allow prosecution based on video alone. Swedish law in 2002 didn't work that way. No plates on the bike, all black gear, full face helmet. Even if police suspected who Ghost Rider was, without a physical stop during a violation, the law was powerless. He proved this with the most disrespectful move imaginable. In one DVD, Ghost Rider rides a motorcycle painted in full Swedish police livery, black and white official markings. He pulls up to checkpoints, parks outside police stations, waves at officers, then rides away. That wasn't reckless bravado. That was someone who had studied the law and knew exactly where the line was drawn. That was a statement. You know who I am. You know what I'm doing. And there's nothing you can do about it. The DVDs reveal his preparation. Multiple sequences show Ghost Rider riding routes in advance during daylight, studying traffic patterns, identifying camera locations, learning every exit. Then he'd return at night for the actual run. Professional camera crews positioned at key points, backup plans for every scenario. Modern street racers film themselves on smartphones and post to Instagram within minutes. Geolocation data embedded, metadata intact, license plates visible, digital breadcrumbs everywhere. Ghost Rider filmed everything, then edited carefully, released through channels he controlled. By the time DVDs hit the market, statute of limitations was already running on the violations shown. That's not street racing. That's asymmetric warfare against a system that wasn't designed to catch someone operating like this. If you're enjoying this breakdown of how Ghost Rider stayed untouchable for a decade, hit that like button and subscribe. We're diving deep into the tactics that separated him from everyone else who tried and failed. For years, Ghost Rider's identity remained officially unknown, but the motorcycle community figured it out fast. In 2005, Slitz magazine reported Ghost Rider was a foreign stunt rider, close to 40 years old. Then Motorcycle News directly named Patrick Furstenhoff when covering his world record wheelie attempt. The evidence was overwhelming. His build matched Ghost Rider's. His riding style was identical. His wheelie skills were unmistakable. And Furstenhoff was the official distributor for Ghost Rider DVDs. Not subtle. In 2007, Furstenhoff gave an interview saying he was retiring from dangerous riding. He had a son now. One last wheelie record to break. Then he was done. Swedish authorities knew. Forum posts from that era confirmed police were aware of his identity. He was seen at motorcycle events, at police stations, living openly, but they couldn't charge him. The DVDs were just videos. Without proof, he was the rider during specific violations. Prosecutors had nothing. Then in 2015, something happened that proved just how untouchable he really was. Ghost Rider announced he was giving away his most famous bike, the 499-horsepower turbocharged Hayabusa that appeared in countless DVDs. Through a website lottery, buy a ticket, win the bike. The description was deliberately mocking, only ridden to church on Sundays. Perfect daily rider. Here's the physical evidence of countless documented crimes. The actual motorcycle used in violations watched by millions, being given away in a raffle. Police could do nothing. The bike was just a bike. Without proof of who rode it during specific crimes, it was meaningless as evidence. And the statute of limitations on most traffic violations had already expired. One final middle finger, and there was nothing they could do. The timing of his retirement wasn't accidental. By 2007, technology was advancing rapidly. Digital forensics were improving. social media was changing how viral content worked. The window that made his operation possible was closing. Swedish law has since been updated. Geolocation data from phones, metadata from videos, license plate readers, facial recognition. The tools available to prosecutors today didn't exist in 2002. If Ghost Rider tried his operation now, even in Sweden, he'd be caught within weeks. The system adapted. He just stayed ahead of it long enough to retire on his own terms. Today, Ghost Rider's DVDs still circulate online. New viewers discover them every week. The Uppsala run still gets reaction videos. The wheelie pass on police still gets shared. And every modern street racer thinks they're copying his blueprint. But they're only copying the surface. They see high-speed runs, police chases, viral videos. What they miss is everything that happened before the camera started rolling. The route planning, the legal research, the distribution strategy that kept his identity officially unconfirmed for years. The difference between legend and criminal isn't the act, it's the preparation. Antonio Ginestri as Squeeze Benz lasted 8 months before arrest. Ghost Rider lasted a decade. The difference wasn't courage. Ginestri was chasing clout. Ghost Rider was running an operation where every legal angle was studied, every risk calculated, every detail controlled. In January 2025, Antonio Ginestri was sentenced to 5 years in prison. His Squeeze Benz videos are still online, millions of views, all used as evidence against him. Patrick Furstenhoff, the man widely identified as Ghost Rider, has never been charged with any crime related to the DVDs. He lives openly in Sweden. His Guinness World Record still stands. His DVDs are still sold. Two men, both filmed themselves committing traffic violations. Both built massive audiences. One is in prison, one is free. Ghost Rider proved something that still echoes today. Skill gets you attention. Knowledge lets you get away with it. The problem is the window he exploited closed behind him. Modern street racers filming themselves on social media aren't operating in that window. They're handing prosecutors everything they need with every upload. Every post, every story, every tag. Ghost Rider spent 10 years ahead of a system that was adapting to catch him. He stayed ahead, then he retired before it caught up. That's not luck. That's a perfect exit. So here's the question. Was Ghost Rider a genius who exposed the limits of law enforcement? Or was he just a skilled rider who operated in the right place at the right time before technology closed the gap? The answer is probably both. But only one of those factors was in his control, and he maximized it completely. When you watch modern street racers filming themselves today, remember this. Ghost Rider lasted a decade. They last months. The difference isn't courage, it's homework. Understanding the system you're operating in isn't optional. It's the only thing that separates legends from cautionary tales. Drop your thoughts in the comments below, and if this breakdown opened your eyes to how Ghost Rider actually operated, make sure you're subscribed because we've got more stories like this coming.